and I wanted to go through one of the chapters of Samuel with you. And we are used to reading chapters, but in ancient times there was not much reading, there was just a lot of hearing. So I will tell you the story of Samuel, not the whole, don't worry, not the whole story. But I will tell you the story, and then I invite you to think with me together. It means that I would really like to hear what you think. I thought about this chapter, but I would like to hear what God is telling us through this chapter of Samuel. So let's pray. Father, we are thankful that you speak. We are thankful that you do not leave us alone, that your desire is to communicate, and we love you. We want to dedicate this time to you. May we hear your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Now the boy Samuel served the Lord under Eli. And in those days, the word of the Lord was scarce. Visions weren't very widespread. And on a day, Eli was laying in his place, and his eyes had started to grow dim. He couldn't see anymore. And Samuel was laying in the temple of the Lord, where the ark of God is. And God called Samuel. And he said, "Here I am." And he ran to Eli, and he said, "Here I am, you called me." And Eli said, "I didn't call you. Go back, lay down." And he went back and laid down. And God called again, "Samuel." And Samuel got up, walked to Eli, and said, "Here I am, you called me." And Eli said, "I didn't call you. Go back, lay down." Now, Samuel did not know the Lord yet, because the Lord had not revealed himself yet. He hadn't revealed himself through his word to Samuel. God spoke for a third time. "Samuel." Samuel got up, walked to Eli, and he said, "Here I am. You called me." And then Eli understood. The Lord is calling this boy. And so he said, "Go back, lay down, and if he calls you again, you should say, 'Speak, Lord, your servant is listening.'" So Samuel went back and lay down, and the Lord came, and he stood there, and he called. And he said, "Samuel, Samuel." And Samuel said, "Speak, your servant is listening." And the Lord said, "I'm about to do something in Israel that will make the ears of everyone that hears this ring. I'm going to bring about against Eli everything that I've spoken against his house, from the beginning to the end. And I will tell him that I am judging his house forever because of the sin that he knew, that his sons were blaspheming, and he didn't restrain them. Therefore, I swear that the sin of the house of Eli will not be atoned for by sacrifice or by grain offering forever." Now Samuel lay down till the morning, and he got up, opened the doors of the temple, and he was afraid to tell the vision to Eli. And Eli called him and said, "Samuel, my son." And Samuel came and said, "Here I am." And Eli said, "Tell me the word that he spoke to you. Don't leave anything out. If you leave a word out, may God do so and so to you." And Samuel told him everything that the Lord had told him. And Eli said, "He is the Lord. He can do what is good in his eyes." Now Samuel grew up, and the Lord was with him. He didn't let any of his words fall to the ground. And everyone in Israel, from Dan to Beersheba, knew that Samuel was faithful to be a prophet to the Lord. And the Lord kept appearing in Shiloh, because he revealed himself to Samuel in Shiloh by the word of the Lord. This is the word of the Lord. Let me drink a little water. So this is the part where you come in. Let me tell you the beginning again, and then I have two questions. The beginning starts like this. The boy Samuel served the Lord under Eli. And in those days, the word of the Lord was scarce. Visions weren't very widespread. And on a particular day, Eli was laying in his place, and the eyes of Eli had grown dim. It started to grow dim. He couldn't see anymore. But the lamp of the Lord had not gone out. I forgot that last time. The lamp of the Lord had not gone out. And Samuel lay in the temple of the Lord where the ark of God is. That's the beginning. Now think about these two characters, Eli and Samuel. What do we learn about Samuel from this very beginning? He's attentive. What else? He serves. Right, that's what it says. And the boy Samuel, the lad Samuel, served the Lord under Eli. Under Eli. We have not listened to the rest of the book of Samuel, but if you remember who Eli is, there is a bit of trouble there. Right, you heard it in God's pronouncement against Eli. So here he is, apprenticing, learning from an older person. But you might wonder what this will look like. Okay, so that's Samuel. Now about Eli, what do you learn about Eli from this short section?
His sons were not doing right before the Lord.
Right, right. This is what we actually also hear in the previous chapter, that his sons were actually they were not doing right to the Lord and not doing right to the people that came to the tabernacle. What else? What do you learn about Eli?
But it's also, isn't it, both? Because on the one hand, Eli is really not disciplining these other kids.
Right.
And yet there seems to be a good relationship with this young kid.
Yeah.
Samuel,
yeah.
Who is being very an attentive younger kid, son.
Yes.
And Eli's taking him seriously.
Yes.
Okay,
very good. Now, let's go back to this very beginning section. You guys love to jump already to the...
His eyes are dim.
It says his eyes had started to grow dim and he couldn't see. Why do you need to know that? Why is this important? You know, the Bible is concise. If the Bible tells that someone has long hair, you better see that this is going to be part of the story afterwards, like Absalom. He wasn't hearing God's word. How do you see that in the eyes that grow dim? He's not attentive. Right, right. He's not seeing. Right?
Yeah, it says that the word of the Lord was scarce under his leadership.
Yeah, maybe we can combine those two ideas, that the word of the Lord was scarce and he doesn't see. Now, seeing in the Bible, in both Old Testament and New Testament, is a metaphor for seeing what the Lord is doing.
Judging, yeah.
And for judging, but I'm thinking about, for now, about if someone is blind and doesn't see, it's a metaphor for not seeing what the Lord is doing. For example, in Isaiah 42, there the Lord says that Israel has the task to be the light of the nations, to open the eyes of the blind. Right? That's the task. To bring light because they're in darkness, and to open the eyes of the blind. And then just a few verses later in that same chapter, the Lord says, you know, my servant is blind, meaning Israel is blind. They don't see. They don't see what I'm actually doing. So there's something right here where the author describes that Eli's eyes had started to grow dim, that is a bell to us. There is something going on, together with then the scarcity of the Word of God. And what else does it say? Yes, it says, his eyes had grown dim, but the lamp of the Lord had not gone out. Now also here, some people like to take it as an indication of the time of night that the Lord was speaking. But in general, you don't find comments like that about time. So maybe here also, this all paints for us a picture that the word of the Lord is scarce. People do not hear what God is saying. Then you have Eli, whose eyes have grown dim as a leader who doesn't see. And then this little statement, but the lamp of the Lord had not gone out yet. Okay, that's Eli and Samuel in that first part. Let us go to the next part. The Lord called Samuel, and he said, here I am. And he ran to Eli and said, here I am, you called me. And Eli said, I didn't call you. Go back, lay down. And the Lord called again, Samuel. And Samuel got up, walked to Eli, and said, here I am, you called me. And Eli said, I didn't call you. Go back, lay down. Now, Samuel didn't know the Lord yet, because the Lord hadn't revealed himself through his word to Samuel. Now, God called for a third time, Samuel. He got up, walked to Eli, and said, you called me. And then Eli understood that the Lord is calling the boy. And he said, go back, lay down, and if he calls again, you should say, speak, Lord, your servant is listening. So he went back and laid down, and the Lord came. He stood there and called, Samuel, Samuel. And Samuel said, speak, your servant is listening. And the Lord said, I am about to do something in Israel that will make the ears of everyone who hears it ring. I am going to bring about against Eli everything that I have spoken against his house from the beginning till the end. And I'm telling him, I am judging his house because of the sin that he knew, that his sons were blaspheming and he did not restrain them. Therefore, I swear that his sin, the sin of the house of Israel, will not be atoned for by sacrifice or by grain offering forever. It's the second section. From this section, what do we learn about Samuel?
He did not discipline his sons.
Right, that's Eli. You're right. He does not, let's go to Eli, okay? He did not discipline his sons. It's a very difficult word in Hebrew. It occurs only here. There's a bit of a play with the darkening eyes. But you're right. He seems to not have restrained them. And if you know chapter 2, he did rebuke them. He did tell them, guys, what I'm hearing is not a good thing. You shouldn't do this. So you're right, he did not discipline them. He didn't restrain them. That's Eli. What else? What else do we learn about Eli from this section?
He
Now, what, right, so he has some recognition of who, of the fact that the Lord speaks, right? Even though it took some time, he didn't hear the voice. But when it happened for a third time, there was a light bulb that went on. Yes, yeah, actually, and if we had read the previous chapters, we would have seen that the Lord had sent a prophet and had already indicated this. But here there is another word, right? Anything else about Eli? Right.
That's divine
completion. Right. Yes. Some cultures are very familiar with you should ask at least three times and don't ask just one, invite someone just once. Right. So here is God. He is very persistent. Yeah. Yeah.
To receive this message.
Yeah, wow.
There's a lot of humility in that as well.
Yeah. How would you feel if you are the leader, the spiritual leader, and then God doesn't speak to you, but he speaks to a child? We don't know what his age is. The word na'ar can have quite a wide range, so we like to paint him as a little boy of 5 years old, but he could be also 15. Yes.
Yes, so kind of on that question about I have this, it seemed that the Lord helped here. It's like he was almost preparing him again to hear a hard word.
Huh. I did not think about that. That's interesting too. Yes, you're right. Why did he just call Samuel? Why didn't he just immediately spill it out? Yeah. Yeah.
Was going to wipe out Israel.
Yeah.
And Moses pleaded, and the Lord listened. So why didn't hear me now and Jacob said it?
Yeah. This is it was one of my questions for the next part. No, it's okay. It's okay. No, you put your finger on something. I was going to ask, how could Eli have responded in a different way?
Like
right. Because the word was, I will judge your house forever, and I swear that the sin of the house of Eli will not be atoned for. Right? That's what he said. He has said other things in prophecy, and prophecy often has the function of speaking to you and actually causing that change. Think about Ezekiel. In Ezekiel, the Lord says, do I love the destruction of the wicked? I don't. I'd like them to turn. And so also here, you wonder, when finally Samuel, well, let's go to the next part already. When Samuel does tell Eli, what is Eli's response? He says, well, he's the Lord. He can do what is good in his eyes. It's a shocker, right? Just as you said, why didn't he fall on his knees and say, I completely messed up, but you don't see it. He is, what's the word?
Resolved himself to it.
Yes.
Like fatalistic.
Yeah. Resolved to, well, if God decides, well, let's think about what kind of view of God is behind a statement like that. How does he see God, and why does he then respond like this?
Maybe he can see his household. Why should I even try?
He's tired. He has
self-aware about his failures as a priest and leader.
And
he's ruminated on that.
And so he just drops his arms and says, well, let him do. Yeah.
But the whole family.
Yeah.
And he doesn't really have a relationship.
And he's unrepentant.
Right.
The unrepentant stands out the sort of pride. Okay.
Yeah. And Brenda was saying it looks like he doesn't have a real relationship. He just says,
he just sees God like a judge.
Yes.
It would appear that Eli hadn't said, okay, you're a judge, and you're the big great man who'll do just what he wants.
Yeah.
And do you listen to anything I say?
Right. So that word fatalistic is very appropriate here. He doesn't see that other side of God. This is, well, if he decides, then he already did. Never mind. Yeah.
His eyes are growing dim on his nature.
Hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
I think there's this thing
that right. Right. Almost not seeing that ability that you could turn to God and hear from Him and come right before Him. Close that door already. Right. Now, there's one more thing. Okay. Right.
If someone turns.
Yes, and in the light of all of Scripture, we know it is, and so we just look at Eli just giving up, and we think there's a different way.
Yeah.
Right?
I also think if I also met, he shouldn't have had and hit diet, after nights of praying and being on his knees and asking God, like, I don't know.
You want to give Eli a bit of the benefit of the doubt.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. Also, we don't know what happened before. Maybe this was the moment of accepting what God was bringing on him, and maybe it was not. I'm not sure.
Yeah. It still, to me, it was still surprising to get to that point where you read, he's the Lord. He can do what is good in his own eyes. It sounds bitter.
Yeah.
And it takes steps to get that bitter. Okay.
The sins that his sons were committing were not small sins either.
Yes.
Talking about grievous.
Yes, they had a big impact on everyone, on the whole nation, right? And maybe that's the background of, and the word of the Lord was scarce, because here's the leader who lets this happen within a community. Yeah.
You've lost your roots.
Actually, that is a very good point. If God doesn't speak, right, then how do you know what is upside, right up, right side up, right? It's true. So that's part of it. Now, let's get back to that, because in the very end, it says that Samuel grew up and the Lord was with him. And he didn't let any of his words fall to the ground. And that everyone in Israel, from Dan to Beersheba, knew that Samuel was faithful to be a prophet to the Lord. And it ends with, and he continued to show himself in Shiloh, and he revealed himself in Shiloh to Samuel by the word of the Lord. I found that last phrase so curious. What does that mean? He revealed himself to Samuel in Shiloh by the word of the Lord. Now, this is a key in this chapter. Because in the beginning, we read, The word of the Lord was scarce. In the end, we read, and God continued to reveal himself to Samuel by the word of the Lord. And so we actually go from scarcity to abundance. And there's a shift right in the middle where it says that about Samuel, right after the second time he is called, the Lord has called Samuel, it says, the Lord did not know, Samuel did not know the Lord yet, because the Lord hadn't revealed himself. I forget exactly. It says it's slightly different. 1 Samuel 3, what verse?
7.
Yes, he didn't know the Lord yet. And the word of the Lord hadn't been revealed to him yet. So that's the turning point, because from that point we hear that he does hear the word of the Lord. And then in the end, we don't have just a once upon a time. We have it frequently. And actually think about this. This first time that he hears the word of the Lord, it is the beginning of him taking up the position of a prophet. Because he will tell this message to Eli. Imagine, this is about the hardest message you can give. And yet, he does it. Of course, Eli puts a little bit of pressure with a curse on Samuel to tell him, but Samuel does say, reveal what was said, and that is the characteristic of a prophet. That is telling the word of the Lord. So here we have a going from a scarcity of hearing the Lord speak to an abundance where everyone in Israel knows that here God is speaking. And that's the question maybe for us. How do we go from scarcity, hearing the Lord speak in our lives, to an abundance where we hear him speak? How do you go there?
I think not letting anything fall to the ground. You know, right. Treat anything as something you could do without.
The key, are we a people who listen?
Yeah, that reminds me of a book that I read once by Jim Wilder. And he said, we often thank God, and then we're on our way. We don't even think about what his response would be to our thankfulness. It's like saying, thank you, and then you're gone. Right? There's an element of learning to listen.
Yeah. The Lord's like, I've already spoken to you, and you didn't act out on that, you know. And anyways, I know that's reading between the lines, but I'm wondering if that's there.
Yeah, but this is what we have to do. You have to read in between the lines because it's concise, but this is why it's good to think together about how we get from scarcity to abundance, right? Yeah, this is what we clearly see, that he was recognized as faithful to be a prophet. Yeah.
But what a hard lesson for him to observe his men.
Waiting and listening if we would hear more as well.
Maybe two more, and then we'll...
Oh. The recording won't know what she said.
It will be a very bad recording, I'm sorry. Okay, well, we'll finish up here. I'm sorry for those who joined us online. I didn't think about repeating everything that was said. And I'm not going to repeat it either. That's impossible right now. But let's pray. Lord, we want your word to be abundant in our lives. We want to hear you speak, and we know sometimes you speak difficult words for us to hear and to digest, but only with you is life. And so we come before you and we ask you, will you teach us to listen well and to act upon what you tell us? Lord, we want to become faithful servants, and we want to hear more and more. Will you strengthen us? Will you help us? Strengthen us to turn away from everything that could keep us back and grow us into faithful followers, that we may reflect you more and more to this dark world. Lord, we desire to see more of you, and thank you for your word. In Jesus' name we pray.